Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of the wonderful women in our congregation, those who have raised children, those who have mentored, and those who have nurtured us in our faith. We thank God for you and pray that all of our siblings in Christ grow close in love and respect for one another. May we as a church family speak truth with love to one another as a way to strengthen our relationships and unity as the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:25. My name is Chastity Jones, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect to you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored in honor of David Brown's 75th birthday by his family. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. Herb Krentz's funeral will be held on Monday, May 18th here at Zion. To help welcome visitors, please wear your name tag. If you don't have one, leave your name on the page near the name tag holder. The deadline to submit a Zion scholarship application is Friday, May 15th. All Zion graduating members are eligible to apply. An application can be picked up at the church office. The deadline to submit an application is May 15th. Adopt a Highway road ditch cleanup will be Sunday, May 17th after church. We will carpool from church. Feel free to wear your work clothes to service. Sturdy shoes suitable for uneven, possibly wet ground are a good idea. Gloves and vests will be provided. In the past, it has taken about an hour or so, and we've had a good time working with each other to clean up a stretch of highway of County 22 southeast of Lee Sewer. Registration is open for our Vacation Bible School, which takes place June 15th through 18th. It's open to all children from preschool to sixth grade. You can register on our website. Pastor Sana invites Zion members to attend her service of ordination to the Minnesota Conference of the United Church of Christ on Sunday, May 24th at 3 p.m. at Living Table at New Branches, Minneapolis. Meetings this week include the Roost Circle at 12 o'clock noon for a potluck lunch and the Zion Church Council at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the fellowship breakfast will meet at 8 a.m. at the Nicollet Cafe. The Music and Worship Committee will meet at 10:15 a.m. Zion staff members will meet at 4 p.m., and the Christian Ed Committee will meet at 6 p.m. Let us prepare for worship.
Mary, we know so little about you. We see you as the accepting young woman when the angel came and told you that you would give birth to a great king. We see you as a frightened mother-to-be riding on a donkey. We see you in a dark, dank stable with visitors seeking your son. We understand the thrill and amazement that you must have felt as your son grew. His teachings and his quest to help mankind understand the Father who breathes life into us all. We reflect on you as you watched your son die in agony on the cross. Did you understand all those years before, when you were that young, obedient woman, where your son's teaching would lead? In the end, all we can do is say thank you for being Mary.
Good morning, Zion.
Good morning.
I'm surprised to see so many of you this morning. Honestly, it's Mother's Day. I figured moms would stay home in bed and everybody would stay there with her. But I'm glad you've joined me to gather in the presence of God. My name is Sana del Corazon, and I'm your pastor. Whether this is your first time or your first time in a long time, you are welcomed here. My hope in prayer is that your spirits feel lifted, your hearts are filled with peace, and God's wisdom guides our steps today. Let us prepare for worship. Please bring your awareness to this space. Close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Take some deep breaths. God is here and eager to speak with us this morning. Please join me in the call to worship. We gather here to worship God, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, whose love for us never ceases. Search us, O God, know our hearts. Amen. Please stand for our first opening hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth, number 28 in the New Century Hymn. Gracious and loving God, as we gather this morning, we invite your presence among us. Fill our hearts with gratitude and our minds with clarity as we come together to seek meaning in the busyness of our lives. Open our ears to hear your voice and our hearts to feel your love, that we may find strength in one another and purpose in our daily tasks. May our worship time inspire us to embrace the challenges we face. And may we leave this place renewed with a deeper understanding of your grace and guidance. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing I Heard My Mother Say, hymn number 409. stand in body or spirit to join me for the prayer of confession. Glorious God, before whom we confess today, we allow doubt and fear to override grace and hope. We look to the world to deliver what it cannot give us. We ignore the truth, goodness, and beauty of your good news. Forgive, restore, and renew us, O Lord. Help us to remember your promise of a new life here and now, not just the reality of resurrection in the future, and to place our trust in you. By your Holy Spirit, continue to love and forgive us, to transform and change us, and to overcome the power of sin and death in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved, you are known by God and received as you are, wonderfully and beautifully, but not perfectly made. Draw near to God, who knows your limitations and loves you. Seek the Holy One, who recognizes your faults and finds the good in you. Search for the Spirit who discovers you on your wayward paths and redirects you. Receive the God who comes to you with peace, grace, mercy, and joy. Come to the one who will renew and restore you in hope and love. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Said to his disciples, "Peace I leave you, peace, my peace I give you. May the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pass the peace with one another." So this morning, I asked a couple of congregants to share stories of mother figures who helped them on their spiritual journey. So can Victoria, John, and Betty make their way up? Where's John? Oh, he's coming. Okay, perfect. So go ahead.
My mom has shaped my faith in many ways, but I think the biggest has been her focus on her Christian values of being loving, caring, and kind. I'm not going to be able to do this. John, you're going to go first.
Good morning. I did get a mention from Ron in the back. He said try to keep it under an hour. A week ago, a young lady emailed me, her name was Pastor Sana, asking if I'd be willing to share for a couple minutes, the impact that special women, my grandmother, had on my life, and more importantly, my faith journey. No one shaped my faith more than my grandmother. So naturally, I said yes at the opportunity to talk about one of my favorite people. My grandmother, Nan Nichols, was a good Baptist woman. She lived through two world wars, the Great Depression in which they lost their farm. Her and my grandfather could not have children. During a four-year period in the 70s, my grandmother lost her husband, her only child, my mother, who she and my grandfather had adopted, and a grandson. Yet through it all, she persevered. Her faith never wavered to the end. She truly lived and believed that the Lord shall provide. I have to start out with a few memorable quotes that she said to me. Now, my grandma read the Bible a lot. In fact, I think she read it through multiple times. She'd read it every night, and she'd also pray every night. Her interpretation of some of it makes me smile to this day. I have to start off first with Pastor Sana. My grandmother would have loved you. Why? She always told me the Bible says women are not supposed to wear men's clothes. My grandmother always wore a dress. A second memorable quote was, John, don't worry. In heaven there's going to be Baptists, Catholics, and Lutherans, UCCers, Presbyterians. She just wanted to let me know that God wants and will have all his people in the kingdom. Quote, John, never call somebody a fool. She was adamant about that. Last quote, we would always be sitting at the dinner table and I was on my grandmother's right side. At times I would have a tendency to come to the dinner table and maybe be singing the lyrics to a rock and roll song or something. She says, John, we ain't Lutherans. We don't sing at the dinner table. My grandmother was a wonderful cook and a wonderful baker. I can remember being at home, and she was baking bread, and she would sing her lungs out to the hymn, How Great Thou Art. Another hymn that described her was the lyrics, Take It to the Lord in Prayer. See, my grandmother lived her faith every day, and it was a shining example of what it was to be a Christian. My grandmother gave me the love of reading and tried to understand the Bible. She would often tell me, John, I've read the Bible many times, and I come away with something different each time. I read the different verses. My grandmother knew something that I didn't. She pushed me after I was confirmed to start working in the church school. Little does she know, or did she know, what a great gift she gave me. There is nothing I love more than to share the Bible and the good news of the gospel with children and adults. See, my grandmother never had any great wealth and possession. She knew she had the greatest asset anyone could ever have, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have probably heard many times pastors and others will mention on your tombstone, there's a date at the beginning and a date at the end, and in between, there's a dash. And that dash is what matters in life. God bless to all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and all those women who exhibit those motherly qualities. Happy Mother's Day.
I'm going to try this again. So, my mom has shaped my faith in many ways, but I think the biggest has been her focus on these three Christian values of being loving, caring, and kind. My mom radiates these qualities and taught my siblings and I them with her daily actions and continues to teach me them daily with her actions towards my son. She's the best mom and grandma out there, and I can only aspire to be like her as I grow into motherhood. Happy Mother's Day.
Good morning. When Pastor Sana asked me to suggest people who had moms who were not their bio moms, I immediately thought about all the women at Zion who have mothered me over the years. I arrived in Lesueur 52 years ago with David Brown and became a member of Zion. Of course, the first person who mothered me was his mom, Mary. In so many ways, she helped me figure out how to be a wife and a mom. She even took me to the grocery store for the first time. I was such a newbie. She would gather all of us at Paul and Mary's house on Sunday nights to eat ham buns and have Jell-O and popcorn, and I felt a part of the bigger family. Then there were the women in the choir. But first, Marion Valling, one of the first women on the church council, found out that I played organ and recruited me for Zion. When I began to play piano for the choir and also to sing in the choir, there were Jan Lave, Judy Filmley, French Loop, and Barb Flagel, all women just a bit ahead of me in years, who mothered 23-year-old me when my own mom was 500 miles away. I'll always remember Barb's kind words after my dad died in 1995. Who knew this congregation even cared when that death happened in Illinois? Barb knew. Then there was Regina Konepke, who would always have a comment and a thank you on my organ music. I also want to recognize the women of the Ruth Circle, who are more friends than mothers. Mary Jane Voss, who I've always wanted to be when I grew up. We water walked together back in the day, and now we turn our hearing aids up so that we can hear each other talk. Dolores Lave, Karen Piosky, Marla Slotsky, Shirley Horniman, Marilyn Wells, Lois Andreessen, who gave me her secret and best sour cream raisin pie recipe, Ruby Roloff, Mary Piosky, all these women taught me how to be a part of the Zion family. And of course, I don't want to forget Sylvia Dunzer, who shows me every week what it means to be a mother and smile. Finally, I want to acknowledge the spiritual moms that have been our pastors, Pastor Beth, Pastor Jan, Pastor Jean, Pastor Rosemary, and Pastor Sana. Having a woman as a pastor was never even a possibility on my radar 55 years ago. Now I have a daughter who pastors a congregation in Iowa. And these women at Zion have led, pastored, and mothered us all. I've so appreciated each of them and their kindness, strength, sassy attitudes, and spiritual leadership. For isn't that what it means to be a mother? To set an example for the people around us that encourages us to live our best life, one that is pleasing to God, the most important mother of us all.
Thank you so much. Thank you, John and Victoria and Betty Jo. That was amazing. I want to acknowledge that Mother's Day can be a happy time, but it also can be a time of grief. So I wanted to do a ritual to acknowledge the grief that sometimes comes with Mother's Day. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to light three candles, and I invite you, after each candle, to come light a candle for yourself if the what I say resonates with you. So the first candle I'm going to light is to honor the grief and pain of Mother's Day. And this is for those that have lost a mother, not known a mother, have challenging relationships with their mothers or estrange. So if I welcome anyone who wants to come up, if they've lost a mother or have had any grief around Mother's Day, please come up and light a candle. Otherwise, I'll light them all myself. And that might be dangerous. Who knew they were tricky? Okay, now I'm gonna do it. Tricky later. Oh. Oh, there you got it. Perfect. I'll help you. They're tricky. You got to hold both things at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Oh, you got it. That's good. The second candle we'll light is for our spiritual mothers, those who came before us, who we honor, who have passed, who have nurtured us. They can be our grandmothers, our aunts, our sisters, our teachers, our mentors, close friends, anyone who has spiritually nurtured us. The third candle is for the ways that we have mothered ourselves or mothered others. So this can be not everyone just has children, and that's great, but we nurture for ourselves in all living things, whether it's our pets or our flowers, our plants. We all have things that we mother. So if you want to come up to light a candle, if you mother other than human children, please come. Otherwise, I light on myself. It's tricky. These lighters are adult-proof, not children-proof. Please join me in the prayer of the people. The Lord be with you. Loving God, we thank you for the love of mothers you have given us. We thank you for adopting us into your family through the miracle of your grace and for calling us to be siblings to each other. Today, loving God, we thank you for our mothers in faith who cared for us when we were helpless, who comforted us when we were hurt, whose love and care we often took for granted. Today we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mother, those who desired but did not have children of their own, those who remember conflict and strife in their family, those who never knew their biological mother and now yearn for her, those who have experienced the wonder of an adopted mother's love, and for families separated by war or conflict. Lord, bless the families of the earth and preserve our unity with you and with each other through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us how to pray to you. O cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration, soften the ground of our being and carve out a space within us where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance with our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. Untie the tangled threads of destiny that bind us as we release others from the entanglement of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which could divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth, power, and fulfillment as all is gathered and made whole once again. And so it is.
The first scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Next scripture reading is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen. Thank you. The third reading is John 19:25-27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, prepare our hearts not to receive my thoughts, but to hear your voice. Meet us at the point of greatest need so that a seed will be planted. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. So typically when I preach on Mother's Day, I follow the advice of UCC minister Reverend Elsa Cook Anders, who tells us preachers to stick to the lectionary and the good news of the gospel. Because she points out, Mother's Day isn't a liturgical holiday. Reverend Cook Anders warns that this day is fraught for so many people. It can be a day of grief for those who have struggled with fertility, or those who have suffered the loss of a child or a mother, or those who have had an abortion, or those who have been abandoned by their mothers, or those who never knew their biological mothers, or those who have experienced abuse at the hands of their mothers, or those who are estranged from their mothers. So I want to acknowledge that we might not all be celebrating this day in the same way, or at all. I want to acknowledge that we collectively may have a multitude of feelings about the second Sunday of May. I want to acknowledge that this day can bring up feelings of grief and joy. And I want to reassure you that our faithful family can hold all these feelings in this space. So this year, I decided not to follow Reverend Anders' advice because, in my humble opinion, we don't talk enough about women or mothers in the church. Specifically, I don't think we talk enough about Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the Protestant church. I realize that in deciding to talk about mothers and mothering and the mother of God specifically, I may be walking into a minefield. So I pray and hope you give me grace. So unlike our Catholic siblings, many Protestant churches have minimized Mary and her role as Jesus' mother so much that we almost exclusively mention her only during Advent, when she is visited by the angel Gabriel and accepts her call. In our attempt to differentiate ourselves from the Catholic Church and their veneration of Mother Mary, we tend to focus on Mary's womb and her grief at the tomb almost exclusively. There are only 10 mentions of Mary in the Gospels. In order to focus on Jesus' divinity and not his humanity, we focus on Mary's womb, how she carried the Messiah for 9 months, birthed him in a manger, and somehow her job was done. I think many mothers, including myself, would take issue with this limited view of Mary as a mother, at what feels like a devaluation
of her full humanity and womanhood. This sermon is an invitation for us to see Mary and all mothers and primary caretakers as fully human and fully valuable. Mothering and caretaking is sacred and holy work. My hope is for you to see Mary beyond her womb, beyond the grief she witnessed at the cross. Jesus and Mary loved each other, but they didn't always have the same priorities. Mary, being fully human and fully his mother, functioned as Jesus' primary caretaker, which sometimes meant she was in conflict with Jesus' calling as the Messiah. This made for a textured and complicated relationship, words I would use to describe my own relationship with my mother. Listen, I know this may sound unpopular to say as a mother, because society tells us we mothers are supposed to be humble and self-sacrificing and simply grateful to be mothers at all. So yes, I am grateful, and it can be a beautiful blessing to be a mother, but it is also hard work, right? I hope so. Yes, right? Yes, okay. Let me be honest. On Mother's Day, what I want is a trophy and the day off, not a card and flowers, for all the things I do to raise my child to make sure they are safe, feel loved, seen, and heard, in the hopes that they grow up to be a decent, loving, responsible, caring, God-loving human being. As many of you know, parenting is not easy, right? Maybe it's easy for you guys. I don't know. It's not easy for me. And it's only been made harder with the lack of a village or support system many of us experience these days. Plus, the challenge that comes from trying to protect our children from digital threats that are trying to take away their innocence and attention, from the violence rampant in our society, and from government policies that don't even protect our children in schools. It's no wonder that so many parents are full of anxiety. That being said, I must tell you, I love being a mother. My choice to become a mother was planned and intentional. It took a lot of time, money, and effort to make it happen. And I respect that this role isn't for everyone. Parenting is truly the hardest and most important job I have in my life. I had the privilege and opportunity to stay at home with my child for 10 years of their life. That being said, motherhood is fraught with mixed emotions for me. I've been estranged from my own mother, off and on, for 27 years since coming out. Estrangement is more common than we talk about in polite company, or much less in church. For almost 3 decades, I've navigated challenging and hurtful relationships with my mother and extended family, who don't understand who I am, the choices I've made, or the calling on my life to serve the church. I have also experienced infertility and pregnancy loss, and through these was introduced to a whole new level of grief and a new level of compassion for families who go through this. Most recently, I became a single parent, something I never anticipated or desired. And I wonder if Mary, as a single mother, felt the same way. Yes, Mary, a single mother. See, there is this speculation that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a single mom. She was a young Jewish girl who married an old, much older Jewish man. Scholars estimate that Mary was in her early to mid-teens and had anywhere from 7 to 9 children. At least 6 of them are mentioned in the Bible: James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and Jesus' sisters. Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, was never mentioned again after the incident in the temple when Jesus was 12 and disappeared from his parents for 3 days. Scholars believe Mary became a widow and raised all her children as a single mom while living under Roman occupation. Jesus, as the firstborn, would become the head of the household, and with that came a lot of responsibilities. Because we only hear about Jesus at 12, and then again at the start of his ministry, we are left to imagine what Jesus' life was like for 20 years. My guess is he was busy trying to provide for himself and his large family. With the lack of stories about Jesus in the canonized Bible, I think we are left to believe that somehow Jesus raised himself or may have been raised in the synagogue by religious leaders. I have never once heard anyone preach or teach about Mary as Jesus' teacher and caretaker, and that maybe, just maybe, all the stories, parables, and wisdom Jesus imparts is influenced by his earthly mother. Let me take a step back. There is growing scholarship on the historical Mary, because scholars are interested in restoring Mary to her full humanity, like the Jewish woman and Jewish mother that she was. Historian James Tabor says Mary is the best known and least known woman in history. For thousands of years, Christian theologians have shaped Mary into a passive, celibate, apolitical, mythical figure, not the Jewish matriarch of the early Christian faith or the godmother of the early Jesus movement. Just a generation after her lifetime, an alternative narrative of Mary and Jesus began to develop that focused on escaping the world and trying to get into heaven versus the revolutionary message that Jesus shared, which centered on the arrival of the kingdom of God on earth. To this end, it became important for followers to de-emphasize the human family of Jesus and focus on Jesus' divinity and Mary's role as a heavenly mother of God. This desire to transform Mary from the human realm to the divine heavenly realm included marginalizing her sexuality, her Jewishness, her womanhood, and her motherhood. To understand Mary, we must understand the context in which she was living. If you remember, during Palm Sunday, I mentioned a rebellion taking place close to the birth of Jesus and near her hometown. This rebellion was quelled, and Roman troops hunted down their leaders. 2,000 Jews were crucified, and their crosses lined the roadways to deter future protests. As a young mother, Mary, or Miriam, which would be her Aramaic name, was a witness to this and lived during one of the most bloody and brutal periods of the Roman Empire. She raised Jesus and his siblings under Roman military occupation. And this experience undoubtedly shaped her ideas about God and how she raised her children, which included Jesus. See, the reluctant Mary accepted her call to carry and birth Jesus, but this decision did not come without stigma or social shame. Although Joseph agreed to wed her, people knew the circumstances of Jesus' birth, and this carried with it social stigma. In John 8:41, the Pharisees, in a heated debate with Jesus, said to Jesus, "We are not born of fornication," implying Jesus was an illegitimate child. And at this point, Jesus would have been 30 years old. This is why Mary might have been a little too eager to show people who her firstborn son was when she asked Jesus to turn water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus was annoyed with his mother and said to her, "This isn't my time." But he obeyed her anyway. Mary believed and knew Jesus was special and had a calling, but in that moment, she might have been more concerned about social graces and saving face than Jesus was. See, this isn't the only time when Mary and Jesus didn't seem to have the same priorities. In today's scripture, Mary and her sons, hearing that people thought Jesus was out of his mind, went to restrain him. Jesus was teaching in a house full of people, and his family asked someone to get him. Jesus responded by asking, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Indicating to the crowd at that moment that his priority was not blood relatives, and conveying to his followers that they were all siblings in the family of God. Now, this is good news to us, but I can imagine what Jesus said did not go over well with Mary when they got home. She was probably very concerned about her son's safety and sensing his pending persecution. At the end of the day, Mary was a fully human woman and mother who accepted God's invitation to not only be the mother of Jesus, but also to embrace the mixture of joy and grief that role would bring her. She would embark on a journey that would physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually change her. And I think this is what happens when we follow the will of God. 13th century mystic Meister Eckhart said that we are all meant to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born. Indeed, we live in a world desperate for God to be born anew. If we look closely at those 10 stories that involve Mary and Jesus, we can see that their mother-son relationship was sometimes complicated and tense. They loved each other, but they didn't always understand each other or have the same priorities. We can only see this dynamic when we allow ourselves to see how very human their relationship was. What we find out later as the Jesus story unfolds is that Mary, the mother of Jesus, becomes Mary, the disciple of Jesus, from leader to follower. How? How did she go from the worried and agitated mother looking for her son in a lost crowd to the mother wrestling with her son's provocative agenda to the mother at the foot of the cross and the start of a movement? Yeah, so Mary loved Jesus, and she was changed by him. I believe our messy, tense human relationships, that we might need more than love. We need a willingness to be changed by the person we love. Mary was changed because she was able to fully see Jesus for who he was. This is hard work, to really see someone fully for who they are, not who we want them to be, not the projections of our fears, but allowing the holy inbreaking of who they are to change us. It is holy work. Allowing ourselves to be changed requires trusting in God. It requires us to see with holy eyes. And this is something we forget to do with Mary herself. Mary is not just the holy virgin. She is not just the womb with no story to tell after Jesus' birth. She is many things, and when we see her fully in her humanity, we can learn to see all of our spiritual mothers more clearly and be changed by every moment of dedication, complication, grief, and joy. May it be so. Thanks be to God.